Hello, sister. Welcome to Far Above Podcast. This is Denise. I would like to be the first one to wish you happy Valentine's Day. So for me, Valentine's Day is a very special day. It's the day that the Lord used in my life to provide an opportunity where I had a decision. And I was going to choose the current way of life that I was living on my own, or choose to allow Jesus to actually be the Lord of my life. So Valentine's Day for me is less about the romanticness of the day and more about the God who created me and us and is love. In 1 John 4:16, it says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." 1 John 4:8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 4:19, "We love because he first loved us." And 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." 1 John 3:1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they do not know him." Valentine's Day, 1995. Big day for me. I was a nanny taking care of two precious boys, 5 and 7. I just picked him up from school, probably took him to soccer practice, and I had dropped him off back at home, and then I was heading back to my apartment. Backstory. A couple months before that, one of my siblings, my brother, was playing in a baseball game out in the area near San Antonio. I took my mom with me to the game, and because we were running late, I was speeding. I got pulled over and got a ticket, a speeding ticket. So I remember doing comedy defensive driving. And then I remember getting my paperwork that I had done my defensive driving for my speeding ticket. And I must have put it somewhere on my desk. I might have even thrown it in the back of my car. Not sure, but I failed to mail it in. So, fast forward to Valentine's Day, 1995. Okay, I had accepted Christ as a child. I was not raised in a Christian home. We didn't have a Bible. We didn't pray. We were part of the Catholic faith. And so we did attend Catholic services because my mother would take us children. It was more really, for us kids, it was just a show. We would, you know, dress up and do our time, be watching our clock, ready to go. I did make my first communion, and I did attend their, you know, CCD classes. And so I know that somewhere in my childhood, I attended private school for 3 years, and then I also went to Vacation Bible School. Every summer, my mom would send my siblings and I, and my cousins' mom would send them with us to Vacation Bible School, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist. And then the private school that I attended with my cousins and my sister was a Lutheran one. So in there, God opened the door for me to receive understanding of who Jesus was. And of course, in the Catholic faith, you know, we have the same foundational understanding of Jesus dying for our sins and rising from the dead, being born of a virgin. So, you know, I had that. But I remember as a child, somebody sharing the gospel with me. I can't remember where I was, but I remember I was kneeling. Possibly I was sitting in a bench. I don't remember that part, but I do remember them saying, who would like, and they presented the gospel. And then I remember them saying, who would like to accept Jesus as their forever friend? And I raised my hand, and with everything in me, I wanted Jesus to be my forever friend. So then after that, there was no discipleship, nothing. I might have gotten a small Gideon, little green Psalms and Proverbs and John Bible, because I think I've seen one around from my childhood. I had that. But that was it. I lived my life just doing whatever I wanted. And then fast forward to Valentine's Day, 1995. So, I had dropped the boys off. I was heading to my apartment, which wasn't very far from there. And I got stopped by the police. And the police officer came to my window and told me that my inspection sticker has expired. And then he asked for my driver's license and he took it back to his car to plug it in and see what he could find. Well, next thing I know, he is coming back to me and he says, I need you to, we have a warrant for your arrest. I need you to step out of the car, put your hands behind your back. And then the whole rigmarole of you have the right to remain silent. Anything you do or say could be brought before you in the court of law, just all of the things. And I put my hands behind my back and the handcuffs go on my wrists and I proceed to get into the back of the police car. I remember asking the police officers, there was two, one driver, one passenger, and I was just bewildered. And I was saying to them, what is it? Could it have been the ticket that I didn't send in? Can you tell me why I am sitting in the back of this police car and there's a warrant for my arrest? And the policeman said, look, lady, we have a warrant for your arrest. You could have killed somebody. We don't know. It just says we have a warrant for your arrest. So I am sitting in the back of the police car and I realize what a mistake I have made and what trouble I am in. And so I start to pray fervently, and I remember saying to Jesus, I have messed up my life. I'm sitting in the back of a police car, and I have ruined my life from, you know, the relationships I've been in to this decision here, and I need you to be Lord of my life. Please take my life and do with it as you wish. Well, lots of tears. I'm sitting back there praying. I'm sure the police officers were listening to what I was saying. And then they proceed to take me to my cell and drop me off. And I wish I could say that I, at that point, realized I had an opportunity to share the good news with the other women in that cell with me. But no. No, I was angry, and I just couldn't believe that I was in the same cell with these other people. There was women, mother and daughter prostitutes. There was women that had been caught shoplifting, and I just thought so highly of myself. I just said, I don't deserve to be here. I don't belong. I'm not like these women. And the Lord, in his kindness, said to me, whether you steal a piece of bubble gum or you get a ticket and you don't take care of it, a sin is a sin. That pretty much shut me up. But then I got my one phone call and I called one of my dear friends at the time. And I just said, look, I'm stuck. I'm stuck behind bars in jail, and I need you to come get me out. And they thought it was a joke. Oh, yeah, right, you're in jail. And I said, yes, please call, you know, this police station, and you will find out that I am here. Well, 4 hours later, I was in there for 4 hours, and it was the longest 4 hours of my life. Finally, that police officer came over to me, and he said, Happy Valentine's Day, Leadfoot, and he gave me a chocolate. And that just confirmed to me that the reason I was there was the ticket that I had not taken care of and turned in. So, you know, for me, Valentine's Day means so much more. It's God's love for me that He allowed the natural circumstances of my sin and decisions to bring me to a place so that I could surrender fully. And I want to share with you the gospel, the good news, because it intertwines so beautifully with my story. So today is going to be an interactive episode. And if you'd like to participate, why don't you grab, if you would, a pencil or pen, piece of paper, a napkin. If you're driving or listening and you can't stop, that's okay. You can do this later. But I just want to share with you the good news of the gospel and what God has done for you. So, the first thing, if you are going to participate and do this interactive episode with me, is you are going to have a piece of paper, and on the top part of the paper, you are going to draw a cloud. And in the cloud, you are going to leave enough room for words. And the big word that you're going to put in the middle of the cloud is God, G-O-D. And then next to that, I will tell you exactly what we're going to do in adding words. And then there will be some other things that we put in the middle of the paper and the bottom. So we want to leave enough room for that. But the first verse that I want to share with you is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible teaches that God created everything. That's including you and me. The implications of this truth are huge. If God made us, then He is ultimately in charge. He owns us, and we are responsible to Him. He retains full rights over us as the designer and creator of human life. So right next to the word God, you will write in smaller print, you'll write a dash, and then the word creator. The Bible tells us that people were created in God's image to enjoy a perfect relationship with Him and with each other. And God intended and designed the ultimate in quality and quantity of life for the people He had made. Part of this ultimate relationship between God and His people included His desire to have men and women choose to love and serve Him for who He is willingly and freely. So at the bottom, I would like for you to draw two stick people on the left and two stick people on the right, and leaving space in between. And right above those stick people, you are going to write the word sin over both sets of people. So the goodness of God in His creation, you know, when you read Genesis in the Bible, it talks about how God gives Adam and Eve every possible advantage, a perfect world, perfect health, perfect relationships. His kindness in just giving them everything that they needed to flourish. And as I've talked about in the past, he gave them everything for them to have security, acceptance, and significance. They found it all in God. And so there is no one, no person, no thing, no career no passion, no desire that will ever give the fulfillment of security, acceptance, and significance to you. And we will, I have searched, trust me, I have searched the world over and done all the worldly things, and never did I find my security, acceptance, and significance in anything or pursuit. It is my full joy and purpose and fulfillment has come in my relationship with Jesus. So right next to, well, underneath the word creator, I would like for you to write a dash and write the word holy. So in 1 Peter 1:16, it tells us that God is holy, and that means that God is perfect. This verse also tells us that God requires that people be holy too. Unfortunately, from the beginning, the people that God made, Adam and Eve, choose to use their freedom to please themselves instead of obeying God and being holy. The Bible calls this sin, and because people chose, Adam and Eve chose to sin, they forfeited their privileged position and their ultimate relationship with God ended. The Bible teaches that everybody born since Adam and Eve was born into a state of separation from God, and that's us and every other human that came after Adam and Eve. Sin created a barrier that ruined what should have been a perfect relationship. So, here we are, mankind, born in with sin. So in Isaiah 52:9, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." It's important to make the distinction here that Adam's sinful act that led to separation and our sinful acts, mine and yours, that stem from a state of separation, through our choices, confirm Adam's choice. His sin was quite different from ours. Romans 5:12-19, it talks about, let me read it to you. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and that's Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offenses of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgressions, for if by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one, man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one, Adam, who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgressions of one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as though the one man's disobedience, for through the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many were made righteous." And that is the good news right there. Praise the Lord. That is good news. So it's important to share next. The next thing I'm going to have you do as we move on with our analogy is I would like for you to write the word just under the word holy, dash, and then just. The Bible also tells us that God is just because he's perfectly just. He cannot overlook sin, and his justice requires a payment for sin. So right underneath the cloud, I want you to draw some lines like representing rain. And that rain is going to, it's going to stand for sin, you know, the sin that is raining on us because of us born into sin, right? So God's justice requires a payment for sin. And according to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, it says, taking vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, these will pay the penalty of everlasting destruction away from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength. God promises to punish sin severely. Through his kindness prevails for now. The Bible is clear that there will come a time when each person will stand before God and payment for sins will be required. And that's what hell is all about. It is the place away from God's kindness where people will pay for their sins that they have committed. And I feel like, you know, when I look at my testimony, I was stuck in that place behind bars. There was no way out except for if my sins, if someone had taken the place for me or paid my debt, right? So now I want to share with you about God's future punishment of sin. So we have rain as a symbol of God's judgment. And the rain doesn't come too far down the page. You'll need room for something else that's going to go under the rain. As Romans 2:4 says, Romans 2:4, it talks about, but let's see here, Romans 2:4, thank you for bearing with me. It says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I love that. The kindness of God. So it leads people to repentance. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it talks about, let's see. I had that ready, so let me just find it really quickly. 2 Peter, here it is. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, but the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's more good news. All right, so we are going to write the word loving under the word just. So far we have God in the middle of the cloud, and to the right of that, we have a dash, creator, and then right underneath that, a dash, holy, underneath that, a dash, just, and underneath that, a dash, loving. Thankfully, the Bible also tells us that God is loving. In 1 John 4:8, it talks about that. And it says in 1 John 4:8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In his love for sinful and separated people, God has provided a solution, a way out for people who otherwise would have no hope. This is the good news. Much like an umbrella, God has provided Jesus, his own son, God in human form, who has endured the punishment that we deserve so that we won't have to. As God, Jesus lived this perfect life for us, as well as incurring the wrath of God for us while dying on the cross. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be the sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because the umbrella, so what I want you to do now is, if you can draw an umbrella, and this umbrella is going to be underneath the rain. And on the umbrella part, the umbrella is going to have a handle. On the umbrella part, you're going to write the word Jesus. So because the umbrella is rained on, there's a place beneath that isn't. So underneath the umbrella, you're going to draw the same width of a shadow that would represent the covering and protection of Jesus, the shadow that Jesus has placed, the protection place. And so it's a place beneath that isn't. So let's see here. Because the umbrella is rained on, there's a place beneath it that isn't. So it is with Christ. After living the life we needed and dying the death we deserve, Jesus rose from the dead to prove to the world that sin and the penalty for sin had been adequately dealt with. So, Jesus provided this place where God's wrath won't be. Because like I mentioned in the past, that just a few minutes ago, that Jesus knew no sin. He was God and man, and he was tempted in every way, but he never sinned. And God, the Father, is holy and just and cannot have anything to do with sin. And so his plan was for Jesus, his only son, to come. Jesus came in the flesh, was God in human form, and took the punishment for us. And so the shade under the area of the umbrella, under the handle, it's for those that are going to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So lastly, I'm going to ask you to draw an arrow, and you are going to place a stick person underneath the umbrella on top of the shaded area, and write the words repentance and faith. So the arrow goes from the two stick people on the right that have sin written on top. You're going to draw an arrow that points to the stick person that is under the umbrella of Jesus on the shaded area. What Jesus has done is definitely good news, but it does not do us any good until we respond to it the way that God requires. Though many believe that amassing a lifetime of good deeds will somehow earn God's favor and forgiveness, to the contrary, the Bible says that we can acquire God's favor and forgiveness right this moment by repenting for our sins and placing our trust in Christ. And it talks about in Acts, which I'm going to take you to. It says in Acts 20:21. I'm working on it. Acts 20:21. It says, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If today you would choose to turn from your sins and trust completely in what Jesus has done for you, then God's Spirit will place you in Christ, and you are guaranteed to never incur the punishment of your sins that you deserve. Are you ready to do that right now? If so, you can express to God your desire to be in Christ and tell him you will right now turn from your sin and that you're placing your trust in what Jesus has done to save you. So, the word repent. Repent in faith in Jesus. So, a synonym for repent would be to turn and trust. So, I want to clarify that the sin we are turning from is our whole life apart from Christ. The fact that repentance involves a brand new life orientation, and there is a clear understanding that when we trust in Christ to save us, we are called to trust in Christ alone. Nothing we can do can bring us that gift of salvation. And genuine repentance and faith will initiate a new relationship with God's Spirit, and this will not leave a person unchanged. And that change will last for the rest of your life. So, for me, you know, I was stuck behind bars. And if it wasn't for my friend who did call and find out that I was stuck in jail and pay the price, pay the bond for me, that's the only way I was released from my bad decisions and my sin and my, I was trapped behind bars, the bondage of that. I was stuck. There was no way that I could get out without someone coming to pay that price for me. And it's so beautiful now that I see this story, see my testimony and what happened and how that's what Jesus did for me. And he did that for you. But it's an invitation. It's Jesus saying, would you like this gift of salvation? Not only will your sins be forgiven and you will have eternal life and have a redeemed relationship with God, you are made right with him. And when he sees you, you're under his umbrella. You're in Christ. God doesn't look at me any longer with sin. He doesn't see my sinful actions because I have decided to say yes to that gift of salvation and forgiveness and new life and eternal life and the gift of abundant life here on this earth. It's been amazing for me. And no, my circumstances aren't always great. And no, it's not like, okay, now I'm in Christ and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, that doesn't happen. God does protect us. We are his children. We have a new identity. My identity is a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with that identity, I get an inheritance, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, power to overcome the enemy. He's given me every weapon that I need to fight in the spiritual realm. And he's with me. I also received the Holy Spirit, which is what an amazing gift, the helper and my teacher, my comforter, who indwells within me and lives in me and empowers me and guides me and teaches me and speaks to me. And I'm never alone. This new life in Christ has been amazing for me, and allowing him to be the Lord of my life, you know, taking over my choices, my decisions, and allowing him to direct and guide my life. And that is the most fulfilling place that anyone can ever be, in Christ alone. So I had to share that with you. And I know that you've probably heard the gospel before, but as I was sharing the gospel and my story with a group of young women that I lead a Bible study with, I had never seen my story of being, you know, stuck behind bars and needing someone to come rescue me so perfectly aligned with the gospel and how I was stuck in sin and needed someone to rescue me. And Jesus was and is my Savior and my Lord. And it has been the most fulfilling life that I look back and I think of where I was before and just the emptiness and the hopelessness and the despair that I had. You know, alcohol will only last for so long. All the other things only last for so long. But this relationship that I have, this abiding relationship with Christ, is growing and active. Reading the Word of God, the Bible has changed my life. It is the only book that's alive and active and changes you from within. My time in prayer is one of my favorite things to do, is just talk to the Father and watch him work and the character work that he's doing in me. I'm not the same person that I was 27 years ago. I'm not the same person that I was last week, last month, last year. God is refining me and making me more into the image of Christ and giving me joy and love for people. And it's amazing. It's the best life I could ever live. It's amazing. And I want that for everybody because there's such freedom. You know, God has really done a work in me in freeing me from demonic oppression and, hopelessness, suicidal ideation. Oh goodness, there's so much. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I still, you know, have things going on. My situation, a lot of it is really heartbreaking and hard, but I'm not alone. And God just keeps carrying me through. Jesus is, he's carrying me through this, and he will keep carrying me and encouraging me and lifting me up. And one day, the promise is that he will come back and get his children and take him to the home that he has created in heaven for each one of us. Or he'll call me home before then. Either way, I get to be with him. And oh, what a joy that's going to be. I cannot wait to see Jesus face to face. I love you, sister. And I know that this is whatever trials you're going through with your prodigals or in life in general, they are hard. And I'm not negating that. These things are the hardest things that we have probably ever had to go through. But there is something supernatural about the joy of the Lord being our strength. And that as we trust in Christ, he guards our hearts and minds and gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And I can have joy and peace in the midst of trials and know that he's working it all out. Like he says in Romans 8:28, that because I love him and I am called according to his purpose, he's working everything for my good. And I can trust him because he's not a man, so God doesn't lie. He is good and faithful and just. So be encouraged, sister. We are not alone. God is with us. He is working out all things for our good and the good of our children. He's fighting these battles for us. And if our children have accepted him, no matter how long ago, they belong to him. And God is going to get back what's his. And he is on his throne, reigning and ruling, and there is no one supreme above God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So if you know someone that may need to hear the gospel and you think that this may be a presentation that they can understand, please share it. If you have accepted Jesus for the first time, I would love for you to leave a message on my podcast. I think I've created some way of done something on there that you can leave a message for me. Or reach out to me at my email address, farabovepodcast@outlook.com. I would love to hear from you. Please know that I love you and I'm here for you. I'm encouraging you in this battle, in this trial. You are not alone. God is with you and he's got this battle for us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to rescue us when we couldn't rescue ourselves. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us and that is powerful. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that indwells in us. How amazing is that? Thank you, Father, that we can place our loved ones and prodigals in your hands and know that you're caring for them and you love them because you created them and they are yours. We ask that you take back what is yours, Father. That you'd fight the battle for our prodigals that they may not even realize they're in. I ask you, Father in heaven, to continue encouraging my sister and I as we continue to pray and believe that you're working out all things for our good and the good of our family and our prodigals. Thank you, Father, for your love for us and how we've been adopted into your family. And I am a daughter of you. I'm in your family and my sister is as well. Thank you that we're not alone. I pray for anyone that is listening to this that maybe has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, and that the peace that passes all understanding would guard their heart and mind, that Jesus would speak to them specifically about his love for them, that the Holy Spirit would draw many to you, even through this little episode, Father, and the mighty gospel presentation that is powerful, and the gift of salvation and freedom. Thank you for that. I can't thank you enough. I would get back in the back of that police car again, because it saved my life. I really do believe that the direction I was heading was, it was very destructive, Father, and I don't know if I'd still be here. So I thank you for your goodness and mercy in rescuing me and allowing me to experience that challenge, that difficult time, so that I could realize I needed to repent and turn from the lifestyle I was leading and ask you to really become the Lord of my life. I bless your name. It's amazing, and I thank you. Father, I just pray that you would be glorified in this time and in this episode. And with my sister, I just pray that you'd bless her in abundance and give her encouragement and joy. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, thank you for joining me today. Sorry it went a little long, but I knew that this is something I had to share with you. And I pray that as you celebrate Valentine's Day, you remember who the lover of your soul is and who loves you more than anyone else, that there is no one that you can receive your satisfaction, acceptance, and security from except the Creator, your Creator. And St. Valentine was an amazing person, and that is why we celebrate Valentine's Day. He was in the 3rd century. He knew the gift of love, and he was amazing. So I highly recommend you look him up, but remember that Valentine's Day is so much more than just about romance, and I just pray that you would experience God's love for you in a fresh way that you have never experienced before, and that you can share that love with others. So remember, sister, we're to live far above our circumstances and trusting in the author and perfecter of our faith and the faith of our loved ones and our prodigals. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.